Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Oh, you can hear me good.
Yes, I can hear you. How are you, my darling? You're losing things already.
I'm losing things already.
I know.
It's so hot in here, though. I might lose my shirt this time.
I know. So there's something to wait for, to hope for. Hi, everybody. This is Sexendipity. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman, and
I'm Luann Hernandez.
How are you? How is everything?
Everything is fabulous. I had a wonderful afternoon delight.
you mentioned it before we started. So could you repeat that?
Afternoon delight?
Yes. No, but what does it entail?
You know, you start, you're like, just 15 minutes of cuddling. But wait, let me take off my clothes because I want to feel your skin against mine. 2.5 hours later.
You're losing time.
I know. It's like, oh my God, I got to get going.
Yeah. Luckily, you put your clothes back on and ran out.
It's true.
Yeah, I know.
That's exactly what happened.
I know. So
I was like, oh my God, my hair. Let me tame this beast.
Well, we're going to talk. I really hope that our listeners, that they're really well lubed, because we're going to mind fuck the shit out of them tonight. I mean, it's going to be heavy stuff, really. So you want to present the topic?
Okay, so I got the idea for this topic about 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
And I will tell you why, because I had a dear friend of mine who was expressing her sexuality and discovering it.
Yes.
This was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, how many people do you have to sleep with to be a slut?
Okay, there's a count.
Right. And so young Luann, thinking very comfortable with my sexuality, having a very healthy attitude towards sexuality.
Yeah.
I said, it's not about a number.
What is it about? What did you tell her?
I said, it's not. I was like, I don't think being a slut is about how many people you sleep with at all. I said, it's about how you feel about yourself after, and how you feel in general about sex and sexuality.
Okay, so the topic is?
Well, we're titled Sluts Are Us, so we're going to talk about sluts.
Damn straight. Okay, so really, the question is that the way society sees it, what does it take to be a slut? Honestly, I want to give you a funny anecdote that has to do with George Bernard Shaw. And the tale tells about this colorful writer, that he attended this dinner party at one point. And he leans over. He was very entertaining and inappropriate,
right,
in a nice manner. And so he leans over to the woman sitting to his right, and he tells her, madam, would you consider sleeping with me for £100,000? The woman, kind of, you know, fluttering around, eventually says, you know, I just might. Okay, a few minutes pass by, and he leans over again in his wonderful, magnificent way and tells her, madam, would you sleep with me for £5? She tells him, I would certainly not. What do you think I am? He tells her, well, madam, we've kind of established what you are. Now we're just negotiating the price. All right, so that's basically what we're starting off with, because the idea of sex for money, and is it really, does it have to do with sex for money, or actually some sort of a societal, you know, aspect of how do we look at women and what do we feel about it? And I'll give you the permission to, you know, start, because I have so many things, so many terrible things to say that it's just unbearable. But what do you think? I mean,
it's interesting, because when I was in college, we had this class and we were talking about all sorts of topics. It was Philip Zimbardo's, like, this is my class if I got to create everything I wanted to do in one class, right?
Fun.
So it was great. And one of the classes was on sexuality, and we had a high-end escort come in. And, you know, it's interesting because...
A woman,
a female high-end escort, turned madam, turned like porn star by the
whole aspect of sexuality was covered.
Right. Yeah. And her expression of it, of the way she described the escort business and what she got into and how she liked it, it didn't seem to me to be slutty at all.
Yes.
And so that's why I'm kind of like interested. Like, it's to me, it's not even about the exchange of money. Like,
okay.
Being a slut isn't about the exchange of money. It's just a term that we use to, in my opinion, it's a term we use to shame women for expressing their sexuality in a way that they feel comfortable. Again, like, I don't believe in using that term in general. I mm-hmm. think it's very, I think it's oppressive to women.
Okay.
And I think it's not okay, you know? We go around, I mean, I use it as a term of endearment for my dear friends.
Oh, you're a slut.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you slut. Yeah. Oh, you slut bag. You know, but I mean, in reality, like, we use it as a way to kind of put women down for expressing their sexuality in a healthy way that,
okay.
You know,
okay. I fully agree. And honestly, the aspect or the question is about whether we use that term in relation to sexuality at all is going to be analyzed heavily throughout the show. But I want to start with the dictionary definition of a slut. Because I really, I want to kind of vomit. So we start with a promiscuous woman, a prostitute, a saucy girl, minx, a bimbo, hoochie, floozy, whore, hussy, a woman who has many casual sexual partners, and wanton, a woman with low standards of cleanliness. My vagina is squeaky clean and sentient rosy. So that means that I would never be called a slut. I don't think so. I mean, and let me go on. I want to.
No, I'd love to hear this because so far it sounds like somebody who's a lot of fun.
Oh, a lot of fun. Cleanliness, yes. But let me just add to it that initially this term was made, you know, its first debut in approximately 1450. And back then it was related to kitchen maid or a drudge, something of that sort. And I want you to listen to this. In the 19th century, the word was related to as a euphemism for a female dog, for a bitch.
Oh,
so
we continue.
I want to say something. Pavlov's bitch here would like to say that let me just run around naked and be exploited by hung men that give me their fleshy bone. You know, with all the other fallen women out there, fuck you very much.
Right.
For giving me the permission to do this. And, you know, so this is the dictionary definition of it, which is very vast. I mean, it has to do with sexuality, but other terms had to do with a bitch, had to do with, like, a specific, you know, something that has to be characteristic to something, or a kitchen maid. I don't know what it has to fucking do with that. But, for instance, it really didn't have to specifically do with the sexuality of it. Some of it had to do with the cleanliness. Some of it had to do with other features that have to that relate to women. And I find it just very confusing in terms of who is a slut? What is a slut? What does it mean to be a slut? And who starts relating to women as sluts? Do we do this as women? Do we expect it from men to call us sluts? Who really relates to women as sluts? I mean, it's a big question, and I'm going to get to it, but let me hear what you think. I mean, is that something derogatory that women use against women, or?
Well, I mean, I find a lot of women use it towards women. In mm-hmm. my, like, experience, they use it as a way to put down other women who are maybe more comfortable expressing their sexuality, maybe having sex with someone that they wish that they were having sex with. It's basically a reflection.
That's a good motivation, yeah.
No, exactly. It seems to be a reflection of a woman's insecurity with her own sexuality when she starts slut-shaming or, another woman by calling her a slut. When a man uses it, I feel even more disgusted.
So you think that a man calling a woman a slut is by far more painful than a woman calling a woman a slut?
I think it depends on the man. And I think if in the relation to the woman, if it's a man calling a woman that he's had sexual intercourse with or been intimate with in any way if he calls her a slut, I think that's disgusting.
So just the factor that is making the difference is whether he had sex with a woman or not. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, because I think that's extremely disrespectful, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I think, you know, I'm like, in order of horribleness of human beings, you know, I put a man
this comes first, yes. Okay.
I know, this, then a woman calling another woman a slut because, you know, so long as you continue to oppress women, you're still oppressing yourself. And then if you're a woman, and then men calling her a slut, like, it's just disgusting.
I agree. I fully agree. But I feel from my own experience and empirically a little different about it, because I do feel, and we're going to go into the whole sexual double standard and the whole thing, and it's really very vast. The whole phenomena is really heavy. But the thing is, women relating to women, as the whole bashing from women, to me, is by far worse. It's a terrible thing, and women tend to, you know, there was even a study that examined bad words that same sex would use against other people, and sexual looseness was the main thing that women used against women. I mean, that was the main thing, the main derogatory wording that women used. I mean, it wasn't anything, it was specifically that, nothing else. Men didn't have anything similar to that. And so...
They have player.
They have, we're going to go into...
daddy.
Dog. Yeah. We're going to go into that and analyze what do men have etymology-wise and comparing to women. There's not much, but for instance, another very famous book, the Scarlet Letter, which I'm sure you're familiar with, Hawthorne's book is very significant in terms of, and this depicts, for someone that haven't, you know, read it, I'm sure everybody's familiar with it, at least the Hollywood version.
Right, at least the one with Demi Moore.
Yeah, okay, the Hollywood version. She looks so sexy in the shower. Okay, so yeah, so the thing is, no, but honestly, the book is very highly recommended, but it deals with the 18th century's hypocrisy towards, you know, having a child out of wedlock, and the woman is being bashed and shamed over having a child out of marriage. But the thing is, and I really want to, I think I have it here, a quotation from the movie, from the book, I don't think it was in the movie at all. But the women in the book actually wish for the heroine's death. And a bunch of them say, and I quote, they say, if the hussy stood up for judgment before us, would she come off with such a sentence, such a lenient sentence? At the very least, they should have put a hot iron on her forehead. And basically, they're really hoping for her death.
Yeah.
So the shaming of this whole situation was by far worse by women. I mean, women were so bad and so intense about their emotions towards a woman that broke the boundaries of what was accepted socially, that I find it just
disgusting
and just unheard of. I mean, there's nothing like it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And let me go back to more something that is more contemporary. And I want to bring you an example of an interesting book by someone named Jessica Valenti. The book, the title of the book is actually very interesting. It's called He's a Stud, She's a Slut. And that basically just tells you what it's all about. And the idea, and Valenti talks about the whole idea in the book, is that if you have a vagina, you've been called a slut sometime in your life. It doesn't have to do with what you did or not. And she depicts the whole story of her being in elementary school and being called a slut by one of the other girls. And basically, you really don't have to do much. Anything that you would do can title you a slut, except for, let's just say, I don't know, praying or sitting without any motion, less you know, lest any emotion might be deemed, you know, whorish, and you can do, I don't know, maybe praying or knitting, you know, would suffice to not call, unless you do nude knitting.
Right.
And then you're a slut.
Because that, like,
that would say
you're a slut.
Yes,
that will cause problems for everyone.
So.
But no, it's interesting because you don't even actually have to engage in the action.
Yeah,
just the insinuation that could have happened. And somebody could say, you know, a man can say, oh, that's what I saw. You know, I was working with these girls at my old high school. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So in spite of that, I still have a healthy view of sexuality.
That is remarkable.
Yes. But I work with the girls too. And I was working with these girls this past year on this idea of creating, you know, talking about this topic with young women also. Yeah. And what I told them was, because they were talking about like, yeah, and then these girls were trying to talk like shit about this other girl because they heard that she slept with this guy and that guy and this guy. And I was like, the only people that actually really know whether or not she slept with whoever, like three different people, are her and those three different people. I was like, and really, you never know. I was like, unless you're peeping, Tom, like, doing that weird shit. I was like, and then who's the real pervert there? That was my thing. I was like, and so I was talking to them and I'm like, you know, it's not about that girl. It's about, I was like, as women, you need to be supportive of each other. I was like, that's like all about women's solidarity. Like, you know, when you say that about her, you're basically saying, I was like, oh, those other girls, because they're like, oh, no, we're not like that. We're not like those crazy, you know, freakish people that are like, she's a whore, she's a slut.
Yeah.
Because they were very actually forward-thinking 15, 16-year-old girls, and I was like, whoa, where did y'all get that from? Because when I was 14, 15, 16, I was like, that stuff was like totally, I mean, I was still very, like, forward-thinking for my age, but I was not as forward-thinking as these girls are. They are amazing.
Well, it's very different today. You know, the generation is by far more advanced.
Yeah, and so there, I was like, you know, you can't. You don't know what was going on. Using those terms, slut, whore, skank, it was like, ho, whatever they are.
Yeah,
like,
anything. Anything is basically the same.
Yeah, it's just, it's a way to shame a woman for expressing her sexuality. And I said, and really, at the end of the day, what's wrong with that?
And is it for expressing her sexuality? That's
even
the question.
Even if you just talk to a guy. Like, I'm like, that's the whole thing. It's like, and that's part of, like, you know, being a young woman, learning to have relationships with men and women. That's just part of it.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter. And it's sick, too, because it goes into work. You know, like, it's awkward if you go into a boss's, like, a male boss's office to have a talk with him alone with a closed door.
Yeah.
Because, or if you start having a mentorship. Because this whole slut shaming, this whole, like, she must be sleeping with him to get ahead.
Right.
All of that comes into play also. And it's just, it's sick. Like, it's a sick part of our culture. And it reflects the insecurity that women, that I think some women have with their own sexuality.
Right.
Because where else does it come from? I mean, it's also our society telling us that women are in two camps. You're either a whore or you're a virgin.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Madonna whore at Academy.
Yeah. Or mother. We have three.
Oh, really? Because I think that the Madonna is the mother. I mean, kind of. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you're, I mean, if you're saying Madonna, then yes.
Yeah, you're either virginal and a saint. Or you're a whore and you're easy and you sleep around and whatever. But what I find and so disturbing is that it really doesn't have to do, at least at an early age, it doesn't have to do with sexuality. I mean, you can be called a slut even before you had sex.
You can be called a slut when you're like 10 and you're like, I haven't even reached menarche.
Right. Yeah. What's going on? It hasn't
period.
Come. Where is it?
What is a penis? What does that look like? Emma, these drawings do not do a good job depicting what a penis looks like. By the way, family planning in Catholic school, that did not prepare me at all for what sex was
what
like.
What a shocking surprise.
That penis
is that what
is like
they related
this.
To?
It's like this. It's like that. I'm like, that is not what a penis looks like when you're about to engage in intercourse. I would hope not.
Intercourse.
Well, All right, I'm still using the terms. I'm still using the terms. They screwed me up still. I'm like, intercourse and penis. A dick that looks like this is not ready to go.
No. It's not ready to go. Yeah. And I think they encourage you to look for that penis that looks like that.
But,
so you'll be kind of, you know, reserved. Then. And I'll talk about that whole thing, which is, I kind of thought that we were in a different era. But, you know, in antiquity, whores or prostitutes were called meretrix. It was like kind of a naming. And they were, you know, they were allowed to engage in all sorts of activities. They weren't allowed to testify in court or things that you cannot do.
Whoa, you can't go to a court of law.
No. Not with that ankle bracelet. But seriously, I mean, they were like divided from other, from, you know, like respectable women, because they were wearing like a yellow kind of toga.
They're like, whoa, we need to make sure we know who you
this
are.
This is really disturbing, that yellow thing you're wearing. Yeah. But in general, I find that, you know, and a lot of theorists assume that there is some sort of a sexual fantasy of being a hooker, being a whore for women.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think that's absolutely, like, so pole dancing is another fun activity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I do pole dancing and I love it.
Okay.
And it's, I think for women, it's one of the few, I think the whole reason that the hooker and prostitute thing is, and stripper and all of that thing is so empowering for women, is because it's one of the areas where they're able to have and express their sexuality in an unbridled fashion. You know,
okay.
And I feel like in our society, we can't do that. Like, it doesn't matter. It's almost like it doesn't matter what society you're in.
Yeah.
It's always your genitals are seen as a drawback. Like, your penis, like, your vagina. I mean, I'm sorry. Your boobs and your pussy are seen as, like, a liability. I mean, even with health insurance at times. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, I agree.
You know, it's seen as a liability. And here, you know, and I go to pole dancing Saturday mornings. It is the one area with so much camaraderie and just so much affection and, like, general interest in each other and supportiveness for us expressing our sexuality.
Okay.
That I've ever been in. And, you know, you can go to however many of these, like, you know, women, like, empowerment groups and, you know, feminist whatever. I was like, but I've never felt more, like, supported by other women as I do in this class.
Really?
Like, everyone's super, like, cheering you on as you're trying to take on these things, like, cat calls towards each other, like, trying to be, you know, like, no, that's great. Like, do, like, you got it. Like, that's a great, you know, my instructor Autumn today, or on Saturday, was like, Luann, I love, like, that song you chose.
Yeah.
Like, it was some, like, very, like, it's
DNA. So you choose your music, too.
You can choose your own music.
Wow,
like, we all have the opportunity to choose our music.
That's fun.
And she's like, wow, that was a good, she's all, you're really coming into, like finding which one niches is your niche each time. And, you know, you're all catcalling, taking your clothes off for each other. And it's a great, sexy opportunity for you to just be like, hey, this is me. This is my sexuality. And then I'm so happy to be here with other women expressing that, because in the world, we can't do that. Women are calling each other whores and sluts and, like,
that is
hurting each other.
That is very true. You know that in the scientific world, they really examined it, because this is a very big phenomenon, the whole pole dancing fitness thing. That has been going on for, I believe, 2 decades or some sort of...
Yeah, about 2 decades.
About two
now.
Decades.
They have competitions, which I hope to eventually one day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I'll cheer you on, my love. But I'll definitely... The thing is, it was examined. You know, a few studies actually questioned two sides of it. One questioned the whole idea of students... They were stripping for, you know, financial support or other aspects of the situation. And the studies actually examined how did they feel as strippers and students. Did the idea of them being both affected them? Did it help? Did it hinder?
So you're
different
saying
aspects.
strippers in, like, women in the classes who are actually strippers.
Yeah, no, not in classes. I'll get to the classes. But okay. Women that are strippers and that, you know, that's one side of their persona. They are students in general. Not students of pole dancing. Students.
Oh, you like know, college students.
Yeah, college students.
Okay.
And that's how they support their education. But nobody knows that they're stripping for money.
People know, but they're not the people in their classes.
Right. No, nobody knows in their close range, you know, family and friends. And how do they deal with it? That was the question of a few studies that I've actually reviewed. And all of them came to the conclusion that for these women, having the aspect of being a student was actually something that really helped them, not only with clients, which was entertaining. Right. Yeah, they actually presented it as like an edge that they used as something positive. But it gave them something to kind of lean on as they were buffering the whole idea of being a stripper, because the women themselves felt kind of bad about it. I mean, and I'll get to the students of, you know, the pole dancing students that are just fitness, you know, the women that are just looking for something to do as a fitness method. But in terms of being really a stripper, women themselves found it, you know, kind of uncomfortable to deal with it. And the fact that they were students, college students, actually gave them something to hold on to, and kind of, you know, they found it as something that they can lean on and not, you know, use that, because that part of their persona, being a student, was something that they can present socially.
Right.
And so it helped them.
They're not just the stripper.
In the sense of, yeah, it was by far helpful.
Or, but, quote, just a stripper.
Just a stripper.
Right.
And, you know, stripping is stigmatizing profession. It's not, you know, you have to realize that whoring and stripping kind of go together. I mean, a lot of people think of a stripper as a hooker, and, you know.
A lot of strippers do engage in prostitution.
It's very true, and we'll talk about the whole prostitution, even though I believe that we should have a whole show about prostitution.
Oh,
because
we should,
it's a really big topic.
Yeah, maybe we should hold off on that. Maybe we should try to find a high-end escort. Anybody know a body worker?
Oh,
a sex worker?
Oh, please contact us. Yes, but the studies that actually dealt with pole dancing students, just women that were interested in the fitness part of it, they found that in these classes, women felt a little insecure, and this is really contrary to what you are saying. You know, the feeling in your class is by far more kind of, you know, gathering and good. But these women tended to put like a definition as to what is slutty and what is sexy. And to them, being sexy was related to being secure and self-confident and everything. And sluttiness had to do, and get this, with the way you move. Yeah, and you're promiscuous. I mean, for God's sake, as we said, don't move, because anything might be,
I'm like,
be deemed
whorish.
Is that
a slutty move? I just opened my legs. What else are you fucking doing on a pole? No. Sorry. I have a giant metal pole in between my legs.
That
like,
sounds
whoa.
Really good.
Yeah. It actually is, except for all the bruises.
You but, know, you get them in any way.
Exactly. I'm like, you know, whatever.
Whatever you
like,
do, you get
you
them.
You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all, I'm like, what?
Whether
how
you
can
do
you
your
just,
fitness in bed or on a pole, you get them. So.
You get it somewhere. Moves yeah. are slutty. So what the fuck else are you doing?
But this is exactly, you know, that's what's surprising, that these women still found it very needed to put these definitions on the thing. I mean, on what is sexy, what is slutty. I'm not slutty because I'm not doing this. And they even mentioned, and I found it interesting, that the instructor kept telling them to be gracious.
Gracious?
Be gracious. Be gracious. Be kind. Be nice. Don't be slutty.
Don't be slutty. I didn't realize that you could be. I feel like sluts are gracious.
Me too.
Very welcoming.
Welcome.
I mean,
I know.
I don't know.
I agree. They are very gracious.
You know, I feel like it depends. I think that's interesting because, you know, one of the things I have to say about the studio that I go to, the Pole Garage, is that the person who created it, Drea, she is she's very comfortable with her sexuality. She doesn't use terms like slutty. When we use raunchy, we're like, it's called the raunchy sit. So you sit with your legs open. Like, it's a raunchy thing. Like, we're like,
so you
that's
have
okay.
like terms for things?
Yeah. And we're like, but that's okay. Like, sometimes you want to be a little raunchy. Sometimes you want to be a little, like, more like what we call pole arena.
Like,
you know, whatever. And sometimes you want to do just the dirty, raunchy, like, pole dance. And you know what? That's okay. And I feel like that the attitude of Drea and the instructors there is that the expanse of your sexuality is okay in the studio. And I think that's why it's so the women have that camaraderie. But I'm not sure that goes on at all studios.
As I said, I don't think so because, you know, studies do show that women have some sort of, an ambivalent view of this, of this activity, which I find kind of sad. Because if you're going to entertain something like that, which is really, I think it's marvelous. I love it. I think other than the fact that it's really good
cardio
practice,
and freaking everything.
Really, really
oh my
good.
God, it's so flipping hot in here.
I know. Take it off. Take it all off.
I know. I should have worn another shirt.
I know. It's getting hot in here. But really, so here's the thing. And we're going to go back to the whole Madonna horror dichotomy and the whole thing. But the male fantasy, I mean, I want to talk about it. So the male fantasy.
Is it the male fantasy or the female fantasy?
About being a whore?
I think it's both.
Well, yeah, two different things. So for women, thinking of being a slut or a whore or a prostitute per se. I mean,
or a stripper.
A stripper.
I'm all in together.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Like,
yeah.
Basically, anybody besides, you know, what people think is appropriate soccer moms.
Yeah,
no, not
soccer
that there's
moms.
Any, I think soccer moms are fucking sexy sometimes.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah, not bashing soccer moms. I'm just saying. Just
they
saying.
Could be. I think they should be like a strip club
but
for
you
like
know what?
Soccer moms.
I think there are like
that's
quite
like a
concept.
Few,
there are quite a few soccer moms in my pole dancing class.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I love it. Yeah. I have to tell you, the best lap dance I got in my lap dance workshop was from a soccer mom.
Wow.
That's
really reassuring.
Yes.
So that means like it doesn't end there.
I don't think it ever has to. That's the whole thing. I think that you're constantly rediscovering it. Bring it on.
right. But the thing is, so there are two sides to it. One, that empirically it is suggested that women have this fantasy of being a hooker or a prostitute, in general being paid for to engage in any sexual activity, because subconsciously it kind of gives you the opportunity to abandon yourself in a relationship and not worry about getting attached, which women tend to do. What do you think?
I also just think it would be nice to have someone pay for my pussy. Like
that is very true.
It's like, how much is it worth today?
That is very true. Give me the money. Leave it on the dresser.
I don't know how much you think. I was like, I want to know how much you think it's worth.
I know. And then
get the fuck
out of here.
I'm like, oh no. I'm like, that fantasy just went out the window.
I know. Oh, it's too complicated. I don't know. And the cleanup. Okay. But the thing is really, let's go back to it. And
abandoning
yourself in a relationship and that not worrying about getting attached or feeling bad about casual sex, this kind of thing. What do you think? I mean, does that make sense?
That women would feel like
the role play
of being maybe a prostitute or...
Not even a role play, the kind of a fantasy, to actually really go into a room with a client.
That you don't know,
which is the factor of the stranger, which, you know, women relate to very well as a fantasy, and then being paid for it as something, you know, and I'm going to quote one of the new movement feminists that I really kind of appreciate, Anne McClintock. She said that, and I'm going back to the whole prostitution per se, even though we're going to really have a whole show about that. But she said that society is really upset about women being prostitutes and making it illegal just because a woman in this position is actually asking and getting more than a man, you know, in any white collar, you know, society and, you know, any function. And then she's expecting this money for her services and actually for something that men expect for free.
Men expect sex for free?
They don't?
What do you mean that they expect sex for free? That a woman's
from
just
women.
They expect to have sex for free?
That's from a prostitute, from a woman.
From a woman that's not a prostitute.
Right. Don't men expect sex for free?
Isn't that what dinners are?
It's still free. Dinner doesn't pay for sex. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just joking. But, you know, I heard some asshole say that. Some piece of shit say something like that.
Yeah, so that's why, yeah. But don't you think it's true? I think it's absolutely true. I think that society condemns women for being prostitutes. And you know, we can discuss the whole thing about how in the United States, it's illegal everywhere. And in Europe, in various places and all over the globe, there are many, many places that prostitution is legal and legitimized. But the thing is, really, does that make sense? I think it's absolutely true that men expect women to have sex just as a casual thing because they expect it. And then they're upset that women ask and get this kind of rate.
Money. They're like, hey, I need a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Well, do I think that it's wrong or do I think that it exists? Do I think it's...
I think... What do you think? Do you think that that makes sense? Why is the bashing? Why, you know, men relate to women as a slut if she's expecting something in return?
Men relate to women as a slut if they expect something in return. I don't know that it's the men that relate to women that way. I think they're kind of like, just don't tell anybody. I think the way...
Okay.
I think the women really feel bad about it because, you know, it's this idea that we have that our sexuality is priceless and you can't put a price on it. But apparently,
who thinks that?
I think women think that you can't put a price on their sexuality and their ability to engage in gender.
The agency of sex for money is something to me, I see it, as so global in any various aspect of it. And let me detail. Whether you are, here it is, someone's little
sugar
thing, okay?
Sugar
He's
thing?
Your sugar daddy.
Sugar baby.
Sugar baby. Yeah, sugar baby. Whether you are a sugar baby or a prostitute or a porn star or someone's little...
Or stripper. We can
dark secret.
Too.
Or a stripper, or...
A mistress. Anything along those
lines. Anything at all that has to do with an exchange of money, whether it is that he puts you in a nice, you know, penthouse, or he buys you clothes, or he pays for your rent, you're exchanging sex for money.
Yes.
So where do we get off, you know, deciding that...
Because it threatens...
There's no price on sexual...
No, a price. There's always a price. But I think that for... people that aren't as comfortable with that, especially for a lot of women, is that it requires, I think sometimes we want to shut down our sexuality for whatever reason. I think a lot of women do. They want to shut it down. They want to feel like they're being pursued. They want to feel what all of these, you know, they want to feel like it's worth something. And when you get into a long-term relationship, especially, I think a lot of women can feel threatened by these sluts of our society because they're so open and casual with their sexuality and they're threatened that their partner will leave them.
Okay.
I think that's really...
Will leave them for a slut?
Will leave them for a slut. Leave them for that young 28-year-old that's sitting in the office with her skirt hiked up. We'll leave them for a 20-year-old stripper. Because here's the thing. Some men are idiots and they do.
Well, you know, of course, of course. But they're idiots regardless. They're, right. It's not going to matter what you do.
And that's the thing that's hard, is women blame other women for the fact that their man's an idiot.
Right.
And or that this man that they chose to be with is an idiot. When in reality, where the anger should be is the fact that...
Be directed at the man.
This man is an idiot. You know? Right.
He's a piece of shit,
yeah,
rather.
And he was a piece of shit 20 years ago when you married him.
Right.
But you just didn't want to recognize it, or there were other things that you thought were more important. You know,
that he was supporting you.
Or that you were that 20-year-old
stripper.
It's very
true. It's very true, because... There's a method to this system. I mean, nobody just wakes up and it's kind of characteristic. So I do think that men that tend to do this now will do this later. And especially if they have a commodity, if they have something that they can use, whether it is a position, wealth, whatever it is, you can utilize it 20 years later. It doesn't really matter. So right. The security is really not there.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really matter. But the thing is, I want to relate to something that you mentioned. That men will be tempted by someone else, someone that is maybe younger or more attractive or more
open
loose.
With this, yeah. Just open. Just, but
loose sexually. Yeah,
everybody is.
Everybody is what?
Everybody is. I mean, do you think that there are not hot guys walking around all the time with their shirts off? We fucking live in LA. Like, people are gorgeous. You know what I mean? And it's not picking someone that won't recognize the beauty in another person. It's picking someone that will recognize it, but also recognize the fact that what they would lose if you wanted to be with them for an extended period of time is way too much.
Okay.
That they would not even risk it. They're like, okay, that's great. Nice, fun flirtation, moving on. You know, if that's
right,
what you want
right.
for the long term. And I think a lot of, you know, I think that's why it's really important for women to have more equal relationships also, where we're getting it. You know, these sugar daddy, sugar baby type of relationships
yes.
that a lot of women are seeking, what it is you're replaceable because you have a price tag on you, even if it's not.
I mean, if it's not an equal relationship, it has no exchange of money.
Exactly.
And we're talking about exchange of money in any form.
Right.
As I said, you know, whether it is titled illegal, or whether it is just, you know, an activity that you choose to
right.
do.
Right, an activity we choose to engage in, such as having
right.
a roof over our head.
Yeah, you know, or having nice clothes, or having rent. I don't know, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
But in general, I want to go back to it because there are a few studies that show that men in college, for instance, didn't find the horror, you know, the slut stigma relating to women as... Women that they're actually going to take home. Okay?
Take home
because,
to mama.
Right. Because
right.
they were women, and a lot of them, it was despicable. A lot of them really titled it, "We're going to celebrate with sluts until we find a good woman."
Right.
That was the definition. And the thing is that it doesn't really, you know, there's really no competition if you are that good woman versus the stigma of the slut. I mean, because... If you are involved in, if you are depicted as a slut, then, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to really wash it off? That's a big.
How do you wash off the stink? How do you wash off the stank of being a skank or a
yes,
slut?
The stank of being a skank.
I love that. The stank of being a skank.
Yeah. You know, it was so horrible that these men actually even said when they were questioned, about the double standard that I want to really discuss. They were asked if a woman under the circumstances of date rape, and I want to really discuss it because it's so terrible that in this day and age, it's still going on. But men were asked if that woman that was allegedly loose and a slut
was date raped,
was she someone that deserved it? And most of them said yes.
That's because they're disgusting. You know how you wash off the stank of the skankiness?
Yes.
You grow up and you meet a man who doesn't believe in those stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
You grow up and you kind of, like, if somebody talks about other women that way, then you say, fuck you, because you're a piece of shit.
Okay.
If you're a man, and you just walk away. And you have respect for yourself. You hold your head up high, because
that's
really...
Terrific.
At the end of the day, the only people putting those titles on you or those labels on you are people who are really fucked up.
And
have no self-confidence and no self-esteem or is very insecure. And, you know, if you're comfortable enough with your sexuality to be called a skank or a slut and hold yourself and be like, yeah, so what? Fuck you and go fuck yourself.
And that sums it up. I agree with you. But I do have to say that Charles Cooley had a theory that he called the looking glass self. And what it actually said is that people shape their concept of themselves according to how society perceives them. And that goes on and on into, you know, details. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you were talking about that woman being slut-bashed and shamed, holding her head high and thinking of herself as just, you know, a plain woman is in seeking of her comfortability or her sexuality in a correct manner, which is never possible, you know, because society will always put labels. But are you really able to do this with the judgment that is coming socially so heavily and with these men that say, oh, you were raped, you deserved it, mm-hmm. or, you know, questions like that? How do you really deal with it as a young woman? I mean, I think as a more grown woman, maybe when you're in your 30s, you're more able to do this. But I read a few testimonials of college students, young women.
Young women.
They were just on the verge of, you know, being suicidal because of that stigma. And that, you know, that is not something that is rare. I mean, it's pretty common.
No, it is. It is. It's extremely common that women feel so depressed from these stigmas and these statements and these labels that you're a whore, that you're a slut, that you're a skank, that you're a hoe.
And as they said, you know, it really didn't have to do with your sexual...
It's just like that sick thing that you're describing in Scarlet Letter, where we want these whores and sluts to kill themselves. We want them to die and disappear.
We wish death upon them. Yeah. Yes, as women.
As women, because...
That is why I believe that the part that women play in this bashing is by far more intense and by far more painful than... You know, the aggressive part that men play in this equation. Because the non-aggressive way.
A passive-aggressive way.
Oh, yeah, mean girls. I mean, the way women relate to other women, even just standing on the side of a room and bashing and talking and looking, could put a woman, you know, on the verge of a suicide. I mean, really, and some women really described it as that. So... Oh.
I absolutely, you know, here's the thing. I did not have a lot of female friends growing up. I was a late bloomer. I believed in playing sports until I was 13. I didn't understand that girls were standing aside talking about boys because I was playing basketball with boys. And I think unbeknownst to me, the reason so many women were so uncomfortable with me and really excluded me was because here I am, scrawny little, like, knees and elbows, little Luann, playing freaking basketball with the hot guys in class and not thinking anything of it because I was a late bloomer. I wasn't really thinking like, oh, like...
He's a hot guy.
Let me like rub up against him. I was like, I'm like, pass me the ball.
Not that ball.
I'm on the ball. I'm like, but you know, it's because of that. It's this weird, it's again, like that, like feeling as though there's some sort of competition for men.
Yeah.
And it's like this, you know, there's competition for men that we create, that women create. And therefore, a woman that's comfortable with her sexuality or even just unaware of her sexuality and around young gentlemen.
young gentlemen. That is so beautiful. I mean, yes.
You know, I was like, that's doing that. That's comfortable with men in general.
Yeah.
That there has to be something wrong with her.
Right.
We have to get away from women like that because we can't have women that
are so comfortable. Can we get away from women like that? No. I mean, it's like...
No, more women need to be comfortable with men and not see them as, like, commodities.
Or with women and, you know, not see them as competition.
Exactly.
I mean, Laura Tenenbaum in her great book, Slut, that's the name of the book, and I think it's just terrific. She talks about really growing up in, you know, in an era that is post-feminism of the 60s and the 70s, which is by far worse. And I'll tell you why. Because we were raised to believe that we can do everything that a man can. And then you come across sexuality. Right. And no, oops, this one, no, whoa, stop right there. You cannot. So you're just pushed to be sexually alluring, but not really
engaging
sex. Anything. And not really relate to your desires or your sexuality. But you're supposed to be this attractive thing for men.
Right. Because you have to be beautiful and sexy and turn them on.
And sexy.
But don't sleep with them.
Right.
Because that makes you a whore.
Right. A slut. You're
That's
a slut.
That's Britney Spears. Yeah. When we were 16.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's Madonna or Britney Spears. It's actually the same thing.
Exactly.
I mean, we just name it differently.
Yeah.
But the message is the same. Mm-hmm. That if you are a fallen woman, so, you know, you really don't have a place in society. And you'll be bashed and put to the ground by your counterparts, your female counterparts.
Big thing. Men are not commodities. Women are not competition.
I mean, it is a big thing. Yeah. But the question is it really possible to get around it?
Well, I hope with education, I feel, you know, and further education of our youth. But, you know, seriously, at this point, I'm like, fuck the 20, 30-year-olds. Like, forget the 40-year-olds. Just kidding. Like, they are long gone. You know, I was like, 60-year-old women, great. They're like, we've been through this whole thing. We know what it's about. It's like, but there are certain generations where it's just like, fuck them. Let's go with the 10-year-olds. Let's start teaching our young girls and boys. That's the other thing. Teaching young men, too.
About respecting
women and sexuality and equality. I think that needs to start from a young age.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, that's the only way that we're going to get better at this is by educating our children about the importance of gender and sexual equality.
I so agree. And the last thing I really want to mention, because you mentioned the young generation, is that the new trend that is actually taking place in making sure women are kept cobwebbed and secure is something called the purity ball.
Oh, fuck.
Have you heard of it?
That's bullshit.
Have you heard of it?
Yes, of course I've heard of that. That's such bullshit.
Yeah, I thought, you know, initiated in 1998. I thought it was 1888.
Yeah, it's sick.
But should I just explain what it is?
Yes,
okay,
please.
So the purity ball is composed of fathers and daughters and could go all the way to the age of 4, by the way. Even though menstruation is a part of it. If you have your period, you're invited. The thing is, it's kind of, and agree. I really kind of think I vomited in my mouth.
It's disgusting.
But the ball is really generated to make like a pact between fathers
and
daughters.
A father and a daughter, that's sick.
Right,
that's
sick. He's not going to sleep with anyone, and he's going to protect her hymen.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting.
With his hands. You know, some feminists actually claim that it's kind of incestuous. You know,
It is. It's so sick. It's so sick.
Right.
Father's that's a sick, sick, oh my God. That's
But
know
that's
what?
The new thing. Purity balls are taking place for, you know, quite a while now, and people are engaging in this and you know, advocating it.
Ugh. What kind of people? Because they're not invited to any of my parties.
No. Well, you're not invited to the purity ball.
I am
you're
not
a slut.
I am a whore and I'm proud. I am a slutty whore. I know.
It's like, it's so good to be. Yeah. But honestly, so.
I feel like that should be our topic for next week. Purity balls and how fucked up they are.
Yeah, it should be. No, but seriously, we really want to have a show about prostitution, and we're almost there.
I know. Freaking A, man. I'm about to take off my shirt.
At least in the back.
Just lift it up halfway.
Okay. So, so I want to wrap it up and say that we had a ball. Not a purity ball. We had a lecherous ball. And a lewdness ball. And we're very excited to get your questions or your emails. And you have our numbers. You have our emails and everything. And please. And of course, you can find us on iTunes, which is the most important thing.
Right. Yes.
Please subscribe to us. Yeah. We promise we'll keep you entertained.
Eventually, this shirt is probably going to come off.
Where are the purity ball?
I know.
So, oh my God. Okay, yeah, we're
it's all right. I'm way past that purity ball. That purity ball left years ago, over a decade.
I know. So, yeah, so we want to say thank you for joining us this evening. And please, please join us next Sunday. It's better than a purity ball.
It is. It's better than a purity ball. I may have more excitement for you.
Oh, I'm sure. So, thank you, honey. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman.
And I'm Luann Hernandez. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.